you'll stand with me in John chapter 14, I have two messages today. I don't want to scare you. It shouldn't take any more time. We got two messages today, but don't worry. We also won't take up two offerings. We won't have you tithe 20% instead of 10. You get two for the price of one today. And we'll make the first message free, as is only fitting to make the free message, the one about the free gift. First message that we have today is to the lost. And the second message we have today is to the born-again believer. So let's start in John chapter 14, verse number 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled." What a great way for a passage to start.
Amen.
What peace. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's open in a word of prayer.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for waking us up another morning to serve you and to worship you and praise you. May all the glory be thine. Lord, I pray that you'll cleanse me of sin and empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit that I may preach what thus saith the Lord. Lord, as I preach to the ears, you preach to the hearts. And you do a work that only you can do. God, I pray that you will show us the truth, show us the way, and show us the life that we ought to live. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It was once said, and I really like this, that he's the way to it, the truth about it, and the life in it. God is the only way to salvation. He's the only truth in salvation. You can't get there by works, but only by the atoning blood of Christ.
Amen.
And he's the life in it. He's the only one that can give eternal life. And he's the only one that can help us live a Christ-centered and Christ-filled life. In Exodus 3:14, we see in the text here in verse number 6, he says, "I am the way." And in Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, "I am that I am."
Right.
He didn't say, "I am this and this and this." He said, "I am, period. I'm everything. I'm anything that you need. I'm the he's the air that we breathe. He's the water we thirst for. He's the bread when we're hungry. He's our strength when we're weak. He's our healer when we're sick. And he's everything we need. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the sweet rose of Sharon, the lion of Judah.
Amen.
He's everything.
That's right.
He's the great I am.
Thank you, Lord.
And aren't we glad that the great I am still is? He's right. A very present help in time of trouble.
That's right. Amen.
He's present because he's still alive today.
Amen.
And he's present because he's very near.
Amen.
So number one, the great I am. In the great I am, you will find the way. Verse number 2, it's 2 through 4, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." For the lost, you will find the way to salvation.
Right.
Turn with me to John chapter 10. We'll just read one verse, just a couple pages back, but if we're able to, I want you guys to be able to see it on the pages yourself. John chapter 10, verse number 9, it says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." He is the way to salvation. He's the door.
That's right. Amen.
When you think of the story of Noah's Ark, every animal took a different path. The penguin didn't take the same path as the lion. The monkey didn't take the same path as the ostrich. But all of them went through the same door. And no matter where you're at in life, no matter where you've come from, what background you have, what your testimony is, there's only one door for salvation.
That's right. Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the only way to salvation. So for the lost, you find the way to salvation. But for the believer, you will find the way in God's will. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And you look at 14, who is that Word? It says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
That's right.
Christ is the Word. And Christ is sufficient. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That's where we are now. And a light unto my path. That's where we're going.
Amen.
So, for the believer, that you will find the way in God's word. For the lost, you will find the way to salvation. Number two, in the great I am, you will find the truth. We see in, we just read it, that Christ is the Word, and we know that God's Word is true. So in the great I am, you will find the truth. For the lost, you will find the truth in the gospel. Look in verses 10 through 12 in John chapter 1, where you are now. And he says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." For the lost, you will find the truth in the gospel.
That's right.
For the believer, you will find freedom in the truth. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll be in the book of John, quite a few passages in John here. John chapter 8, in verse 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Amen.
We see that as a believer, we will find freedom in the truth. In the truth of the gospel, we find freedom from our sins.
Right.
Freedom from the penalty of our sins.
Right.
As Christians, we live in liberty. We are not under the law, but we are under grace. There's three things, and they're laid out in Romans. There's license, there's legalism, and there's liberty. License is living according to the flesh, desires. God gives us free will, and if we turn to Him away from our own will, we are put into liberty. Legalism is living according to the law. The demands of the law. And liberty is living according to Christ, the direction, and in following His leading.
Amen.
So we must put away our desires, we must put away the demands of the law, and we must live in liberty as Christ placed us when we were saved, under His direction. And lastly, number three, I know it's going to seem like a short message, but this is my longest point, so. Number three, you will find in the great I am, you will find life. John chapter 10, just a couple pages over. John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So for the lost, you will find eternal life in Him crucified. For the believer, you will find fulfillment in a self-crucified life. So for the lost, we find eternal life in him crucified. If you turn over to Romans chapter 6, Romans 6:23 was the first verse I ever memorized. And it is one that I still quote to this day, and it's one that I use the most during soul winning, because if someone's crunched for time, you can give them the whole gospel in this one verse. Romans chapter 6, and I actually found one of your guys' track, Wages or Gift, back there, and I put it in this passage here. Romans chapter 6, verse 22, leading up to it, says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I like to break that verse down. When you think of a wage, you think minimum wage, I'm working a job, it's whatever I'm getting paid. So what we do earns money, right? So our wage, what does the Bible say there? For the wages of sin is death. So if the work we did was sin, the wage we've earned is death.
Right.
But, I love it when God butts in. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is a gift? Something that's already paid in full. Something that, if you think of a Christmas gift, you just, all you have to do is receive it. You open it, and my kids at Christmas, they'll open their gifts, they'll play with them, but they didn't have to work a single minute for those things.
Right.
The gift was already paid for in full.
Hallelujah.
The gift of God is eternal life. So you can have eternal life, you just have to receive it. But it says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that gift was paid for in full. And what was used to pay for it? God used, the gift that he's given you, God used Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to pay for that gift.
That's right.
In John 3, verse 16, we all know it. Even people that are in the world will be able to quote this verse to you sometimes. But it says, "For God so loved the world." That's everybody. Don't believe what the Calvinist says. Don't believe what the world tries to tell you, like, oh, you're God's judgmental. No, God opens up his free gift to everybody in the world. "For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." You just have to receive. Jesus Christ was the payment for that gift, and that we may receive eternal life through Jesus Christ crucified. God has his hand stretched out to give you that gift. I think of in Isaiah, it says eight different times in Isaiah, it says, "In all this his anger was not turned away, but his hand was stretched out still."
That's right.
Yes, God is a God of judgment, righteous judgment, but he's also a God of mercy.
Amen.
Yes, if you don't receive him, because our sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. Death is what we've earned. Grace and salvation is a gift.
Amen.
I was reading the back of this track, and it said, Jesus paid for his wonderful gift when he died on the cross to substitute. Turn to him in repentance and accept this gift today. There was another part I was reading. Where was it? Oh, on the front, it says, "Would you rather get what you've earned or wage or what you couldn't possibly afford?"
Right.
Man, can you imagine if, is there any car guys in here? Any car guys? All right, Brother Jonathan, can you imagine if somebody came up to you and said, "I want you to have this Porsche Turbo 911. You can have it for free. All you have to do is receive it." Could you afford one of those? No. I don't think many of us in here could. I don't know you guys. But could you imagine if someone came up and said, "Hey, have this Lamborghini or the whatever," something we could possibly never afford in our entire life. Especially with what we've earned. Especially with the wages that we're making. We can't afford that.
with the wages of sin being death, and the work that we've done in hanging our Savior on the cross, he came unto his own received him not. With the wages that we've earned, we possibly cannot afford eternal life. But praise God that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross and bear the sins of the world.
Amen.
That we may have that eternal gift of life.
Wow.
We are so undeserving.
Right.
So how can we receive this gift? The Bible says that we must turn from whatever whomever we're placing our trust in. We need to repent of our sins and put our trust fully in Christ crucified by believing on his name.
Amen.
We need to pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins and bring our soul from death and hell to life in heaven. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Verse 10 says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Right.
We must confess our sins to God and ask him to live in our hearts.
Right.
So for the lost, you will find eternal life in the great I am. For the believer, you will find fulfillment in a self-crucified life. Turn over to Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Some of you may know where I'm going with this, if not all of you. For the believer, you will find fulfillment in a self-crucified life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
How I like to sum up that verse at the beginning where it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I like to sum up that verse as, I die with Christ so that he might live through me.
Amen.
And that's a daily occurrence. Paul said, I die daily. That's something you have to wake up every morning again and again and again and tell Christ, like, I'm putting myself on that cross and I'm crucifying myself so I may live, that you might live through me.
Amen.
It's not just a one-time decision. It's every morning you wake up, you got to make that decision again.
Okay.
I'm dying, I die daily. I don't know if I said this quote last time I was here or not, but I'll say it again. The problem with the living sacrifice is that we keep crawling off the altar.
Yeah.
You know, it says that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice. We crawl off the altar and we keep having to yield ourselves back to God.
Amen.
As the psalmist wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love.
Right.
We talked last time about leaving thy first love. How badly do you seek God? We're prone to wander. If you look back in our text, John chapter 14, this is one point I really want to drive home. If you don't get anything out of the message as a believer, please get this. John chapter 14, verse 7, it says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And then in verse 9 it says, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Do people see the Father when they see you? People can use the argument, well, he was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was there to draw people to Christ and draw people to God. So I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Son of God. I can't be. You can't see me and see God because I'm not God, and He was. But look over in Acts chapter 4:13 and see if you can explain this to me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And then if you look, this wasn't even in my notes, but if you look at the next verse, "And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Their fruit. The fruit of their labors were proving that, and they could say nothing against it. So I got a question for you. Do people take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus? You get around a drunk and you'll smell alcohol. You get around somebody that smokes, you're going to smell cigarettes. Vaping's a little weird because they think they look cool, but they smell like strawberries. Get that on the school bus all the time. But the point is that if somebody gets around a Christian, they ought to be able to smell Jesus. If you're cooking bacon in the morning for breakfast, you might smell like bacon the rest of the day. People ought to be able to get around a Christian and smell Jesus. I read a post one time that said, "I want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing, 'There's power in the blood.'" Amen. "If ye have seen me, ye have seen the Father." Amen. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Just as a puppet with its puppeteer, so should someone look at you and glorify your Master and Creator. Are you different? My pastor always said people at work don't necessarily have to know that you're a Christian, but they definitely shouldn't be surprised to find out. Are you using the same language as your coworkers do? Are you going out and drinking after work like they do? And I'm only going to have one. I'm not going to get drunk. And they shouldn't be surprised to find out. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord." And separation isn't just about isolation. It's about insulation. We as Christians so much want to be separate from the world that we don't want to be near them. We want to guard ourselves, just stay away from them. We're not going here because there might be people there that we don't agree with. And we isolate ourselves. But Jesus, He ate with sinners. He didn't sin with them. You have to be around the world in order to reach them. But we need insulation. We need to guard ourselves by memorizing scriptures, by spending daily time in God's word, and guarding our hearts that we may be able to, when those things come around us and we're not isolating ourselves from the world, we may still have that protection. Putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Separation about insulation, not isolation. So we talk about self-crucified life. What needs to die on the cross? Your dreams need to die. Your ambitions need to die. Your desires need to die. Your plans, your wardrobe, your language, your drinking, your smoking, your music, what you watch on television, what you read, and you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me. Amen. We need to die to self. So finding all you can in the great I Am, I think I forgot to share the message or the title of the message, but finding all you can in the great I Am for the lost. Has there ever been a time where you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come live in your heart? Here's your chance to have someone show you the way to the door of salvation. Here's your chance to find the truth in the gospel. And here's your chance to find everlasting life. And for the believer, when was the last time you put yourself on the cross? I forget who said it, but they said, in every man's heart, there is a throne and a cross. If you remain on the throne, Christ remains on the cross. But if you place yourself on the cross, you are then placing Christ on the throne.
Amen.
When was the last time you put yourself on the cross? You have to be dead to self to find the way God wants you to go. It may mean making sacrifices. Sacrificing family. Distant relatives may mean you might have to die to self. People may not always agree with your decisions. You may have to sacrifice a good paying job to do what God wants you to do. But you have to be dead to self to find the way that God wants you to go. You have to be dead to self if you want to find freedom in the truth. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride. Stop living a lie and just be honest with ourselves and with God and with those around us.
Amen.
To find freedom in the truth. You have to be dead to self if you want to live an abundant, fruitful Christian life. Where others look at you and they say, they have been with Jesus.
Right.
And with that fruit standing next to them, I can say nothing against it. There's no denying that God is all over their life. Finding all you can in the great I am. He's anything you need. He's everything. He has to be our everything.